Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boy Days, and you're about to watch Thorin rant for about 3 hours.
When I'm watching eSports World Championships, I enjoy sipping on a Gamer Sops, which is a delicious keto-friendly, sugar-free energy formula. And of course, it has the lovely little energy release, nice smooth, long, hours long, nice taper off at the end, no hard crash, and you can get 10% off with the code Thorin, Thorin, at gamersops.gg. Now, Champions, which is the Valorant World Championship, has begun today. So what I thought I'd do is, people don't tend to do these sorts of pieces of content anymore, but I've always thought it was an interesting angle, which is, why not give reasons why someone who doesn't follow Valorant might actually be interested in tuning in or checking it out? Obviously, it potentially can be just like if you don't follow Dota 2, but maybe you tune into TI. This could become a fixture on the circuit where it's just another game you tune in. It's one of your side games, your mistresses, as it were, and you just check it out every now and then, catch up on the storylines, then watch the big match. So first and foremost, one of the main reasons why you might be interested in watching is if you come from the CSGO background, obviously the game the most similar theoretically to Valorant, although I will say Valorant certainly composes elements that in terms of like the comps seem more like something like to some degree Overwatch, more like League of Legends and a MOBA, and then there are certain some elements with the FPS angles and the classes that seem a bit more like Overwatch, but there's obviously a lot of CSGO mixed in there. Obviously, there are players you will recognize if you followed professional CSGO. So, for example, Optic has FNS, who used to be the leader, obviously, most famously of CLG. They have Ye, who was on the Complexity team that made top 8. I think it was the Face It London major, if you remember. They have Chet, who used to be called I'm a Pet, who was the coach of teams like CLG, Evil Geniuses, when they were one of the best teams in the world. They have Exet, one of the teams from NA as well, has Def, who you might remember was on Complexity. He was like the support player in the IGL, the UK player. FPX, one of the better teams, has Angel as their in-game leader. Quite a long, long-tenured player in Counter-Strike. Was playing in way back in 1.6 and was obviously in-game leader of Hellraisers at a bunch of the majors in the latter day of CSGO up until a few years back. DRX, the Korean team, has RB and Stax, who you might know from the MVP PK team in CSGO. Team Liquid has Scream, the legendary headshot machine. They have Yampi, who is the really skilled all-around talent, but AWPer from Finland, who famously was banned, but now is unbanned, but went over to Valorant. And they have Nevera, who is Scream's brother, and more recently in CSGO was playing in Vitality at the end of 2020 and early 2021, when they were like a number one, number two team in the world. They were winning championships. They were in the big finals. Now, beyond that, you also just have top talent at the event. So, for example, if you want to check out any of these names, these are some of the best players in the world or on their teams. On Optic, you have Ye, who basically has been like their MVP player in many times. On FPX, you have Ardis, who, by the way, was actually a lower-level Counter-Strike pro, but is one of the top players in Valorant. You have Durka, who some people think is the best player in the world. On Fnatic, skilled player, also was formerly, by the way, a CSGO pro, but just at a small level, like more like semi-pro level. On DRX, you have the guy Stax, who a lot of people rep. There's a player called Forsaken, not to be confused with the dodgy Indian one who got banned on Optic. The Forsaken in this game is actually the brother of Xcurrent, the Singapore player. I think it was Singapore, wasn't it? Singapore, Indonesia. I'm not sure on that one. I don't want to make a mistake. Basically, he was the guy, if you remember, who played for Ty Lue. Well, his brother, he was the AWPer and IGL for Tyler at one point in time. His brother, Forsaken, is actually a banger for Paper X. And then Yampi, as mentioned previously, was a super skilled CSGO player and in Team Liquid, still a relevant player, someone you'd want to watch. In terms of teams, there's a whole bunch of teams that have interesting angles as to why you'd want to watch them. You have Optic, NA team, but actually probably the best team of the year on average for their results. They even won a VCT this year. You have FPX, who won the last VCT. Kind of a dark horse to win it all, quite frankly, because they couldn't go to the first VCT because the whole conflict thing breaking out and they had to be replaced. Then they almost had a scenario this last one where they had a stand-in, and then back came Sugetsu and he was doing fucking super well, and they basically were able to win it from the lower bracket. You have Fnatic, who's been up and down over the year, have had some roster moves himself, but now they have a pretty dangerous roster and probably a dark horse to come out of nowhere, win the whole tournament. The Paper Rex team have absolutely set the Valorant world alight because they are so aggressive in how they play, and they have probably the most unique idiosyncratic player style in the game, and it works for them and is really, really dangerous. So I would say they are a very dangerous dark horse slash contender to win the event, even though they're coming from the Southeast Asian region, not a top region in FPS history. DRX from Korea shows that because they do play it in the PC banks, not anywhere close to League of Legends or even Overwatch, but they still play it way more than Dota and CSGO by magnitudes. You have some skilled players in Korea, and they look really dominant in their region always, and they have their own style of approach of play. So they're a skilled team, Korean angle you can watch for, except from NA, has always been decent, always been in a position to even go to these tournaments. It's only the last one they started getting here, and they've just yet to produce the international results. They haven't really sort of got embedded in online as much. And then Loud from Brazil has got to be a dark horse by virtue of the fact they were second place at the first VCT this year. And so as a result, yeah, a lot of people think there's another team that has some firepower, right? In terms of the regions, this is a massive selling point for this tournament if you're from other games, and especially CSGO. Because actually, one of the reasons I often gave as to why I followed League of Legends and was interested is not the raw ability in the game or how skilled it is or that. It's the fact that it's one of the only truly international games. Essentially, the entire world plays League of Legends at a professional level and tries to be really good. So as a result, it makes it super competitive. You know that there's not some country out there. So for example, famously, when I watched Dota 2, I'm always like, I wish there was Koreans to the same degree there are Chinese players. When I watch CSGO, I think I wish Korea and China were involved like they are in League of Legends. All these other games have an angle like that where it's like, you can't know. So famously, I've often said, even to some of the top CS 1.6 from CSGO players, you don't know it, but for all we know, if Koreans went ham, the actual best player ever was a Korean guy that never played CSGO, and we don't actually know that he's better than Simple. That's potentially possible. Well, in a game like this, it's not quite at the league level, but man, these regions, like, here's the thing, it's not that the whole world's playing Valorant necessarily, but the competition level for how many regions play is insane, the parity. There have been so many upsets of minor regions against major regions using the league terminology. There have been so many times where the placing showed that these regions could compete. So for example, Paper X from Southeast Asia were fourth in the first VCT, and this year, and they were second, they were runners-up in the second VCT. There were only two VCTs and then there's champions. That's the format over the year. Loud from Brazil were runners-up in the first VCT. Zeta Division from Japan were third in the first VCT. Imagine Japan being third in like a major in CSGO or even in League of Legends, man alive. DRX from Korea for fifth to sixth in both of the VCTs. You can see the amount of competition. And then, by the way, some of the smaller regions, for some of the small countries from South America or other parts of Southeast, they're even causing potential upsets and just doing like the BO1s when it was like that in the groups. Oh, that wasn't BO1s, but yeah, like there's some really dangerous stuff. Oh, no, there was actually. Now, unlike CSGO or Dota 2, this game has all the Asians in, and particularly Koreans. And I've always been so jealous of FPS games that get the Koreans properly playing. Famously, Overwatch was like this. I used to watch Overwatch and think, man, imagine we had the monster support player like Jonak. We had some god tank type player like Gesture to be an entry guy. We had Prophet with the mad aim. Sabiel B, again, really sick mechanics. Fletter, fucking god carry. Ryo Jaehong was like an all-round talent. Like, imagine we'd had these players in CSGO go and hard the whole time. Imagine what an amazing game it would become beyond what it already is. Then you think of some of the ones who are currently in Valorant. Like, you've got Sire player, who used to be a mechanical monster sniper in Overwatch. You have Stax, RB, and Zeta, who, by the way, were basically the best Koreans when we had CSGO going in Korea. Now they play Valorant because that's the bigger game over there. I wish these guys were over in CSGO. And so, being as they aren't, you can at least watch them in Valorant. You can see them compete there and show off their talents. The format, by the way, is probably the part that's gone under the radar the most, because they've also upgraded the format from what the VCT Masters events were like. Well, I didn't like the fact that if you're the top seed, you just skip to the playoffs. You didn't have to go through groups. This is like League of Legends World Championship. You have the four groups, but they're GSL best of three, so there's already no BS from the round robin angle that I despise. And then the actual playoffs is double elim. This is the dream. This is what everyone's always wanted. You have a really good system in terms of like the group stages. I'd argue potentially better than CSGO and League of Legends because GSL. Then what? It's got to be a massive selling point that they've got a lower bracket and a double elim. Imagine in the CSGO Major how amazing it would be if you had a lower bracket and you could watch like FaZe versus Na'Vi again, or you could watch Heroic versus Na'Vi a second time. Imagine if you had a lower bracket in the League of Legends World Championship and you'd gotten to see that year when IG won or FPX won, G2 or the other top teams from the West get to play another team in the lower bracket. Imagine how exciting that would be. And also, consider this. This year, the two VCT winners both came from the lower bracket. Optic came from the lower bracket. FPX came from... FPX, by the way, won the entire lower bracket. At least Optic came from the winner bracket final. So the crazy thing is, this is a really good format. It's actually comparable. The only one I think is better is probably TI. It's better than the CSGO majors and the League of Legends World Championship formats. So that, bearing in mind, Riot Games make the League of Legends World Championship. That's their own game. This just shows how Riot will always cut off their nose to spite their own face. I get the vibe they're going to go the other way. Famously in CSGO, we always say, unfortunately, Valve cares more about Dota. And I've even heard from behind the scenes, there was like a rule, like whatever Dota has to be different from CSGO. And that's why they won't give us a TI-style double elim tournament with the crowdfunding. So if the joke is, it feels like League's doing that, but they're doing it the other way around. Now it's the CS type game that gets all this stuff, and it's the MOBA type game that gets none of it. Like, what's going on here? So that part's just so weird, but I will say this is props to Riot. This looks like a very good tournament overall. In terms of talent, there are a whole bunch of names you will either recognize or I can just tell you are good. I'll run through some of the ones I like. Pansy is mega overqualified to be in this game. I hope she becomes the voice of Valorant, because I thought she was really good in CSGO. Spoiler, being as she's the one going out there calling out that people aren't contacting her, calling her to hire her for mages in CSGO. I'll just point out, I tried actually twice to contact her to hire her for Flashpoint, never got any response whatsoever. I always thought she was a very good CSGO caster. Actually was brought in way too early and forced into lineups by ESL, and before she'd finally sort of found her voice and her identity, I think she could have been one of the best CSGO casters ever. And I thought if she'd have had a partnership with either Machine or Moses, it would have been fire. I thought they were both really good duos when she did them. She could have done any level of match. So she could cast way bigger game than Valorant. So absolutely top tier talent here. Golden Boy as a host, pretty much always a good host in any game, right? Yin Su, who people might know, came from being a journalist. I actually knew, I first met her when she did, like, we did like the press release announcing Flashpoint came out in the beginning of 2020. So you can see how her career has leveled up. She's a pretty good host overall. Seems like she has fairly decent personality on camera. I think people relate to her. She handles the comedy stuff fairly well. Because her boyfriend, I'm not sure what the relationship status now, but I know that Boster from Fnatic was her boyfriend. So she also had the into the scene, where she knew loads of the players, especially the Europeans, and would do like a cheeky banter of sort of repping Europe. Achilleos obviously had been... famously comes from League of Legends and did Overwatch and was doing the Korean region. And I know him from League of Legends. He's a guy, he's a very legit guy, he's very professional on camera. Bren and Sideshow obviously come from Overwatch and essentially are the best analysts slash most interesting personalities influencers, in my opinion, but also do a great job on the desk. I'm actually glad that they get to be there. Bren's more like the funny side and he has like harsh takes. Sideshow, I really think, is just like the Monte Cristo of Valorant and Overwatch. He did a really good job. He has that sort of mind. He can still do some humor, but he's a very, very legit analyst who was never just going to give nonsense takes, in my opinion. Tom Biz, if you know from CSGO, he would often be on the side streams or the smaller events like the Star Ladders with me. He's a guy who's always had talent, in my opinion. Of the other people, I don't know that many of the others. I thought actually a woman called Jess, from the few times I saw her on camera, she seemed interesting. I thought she had an interesting sort of personality. Seemed like she had pretty... I wouldn't say like spicy takes, but she had like a sort of a firm take. I thought she had a good presence on camera. Don't really know much beyond that. I don't know what game she's from beyond, unfortunately. Beyond those people, it's not that the others are bad. Some of them I don't think are that great. I just think in general, like, they've got a good set of talent here, but I do think outside of some of these names, it's a bit vanilla. Like, what I don't like about Riot and how they've handled it, like, watch the Four Horsemen episode about this. They don't seem like, beyond one or two people, they're going to let top talent in, actually. And they're definitely not going to let people in who've shown any sort of history of backbone. So you're not going to get that spicy a broadcast, in my opinion. It's going to be more like the League of Legends one in that regard. In terms of the observers, if you don't know, Prius and Sapphire, who did tons of the biggest CSGO events of all time, they actually are the main observers. Actually, Valorant took all our observers, in the sense that, like, if you don't know, Sliggy used to be the god of observing in CSGO, and he was the coach of Team Liquid for most of Valorant, it seems like. The game itself, let's be real, isn't the number one reason to watch, especially not if you're a CSGO fan or a Quake fan. Like, it's not as good as CSGO. It's different enough that it's not really the same thing. Like, the utility is totally different and the abilities and all the rest of it. But I will say, I think it's a better FPS game as an esport to watch than Overwatch or COD, and way better than League of Legends. I do think actually a very unique part of it is it has an automatically built-in OP element. So think about it, right? In CSGO, if you're the best, like the absolute best team in the world on Nuke, any team that doesn't like Nuke and doesn't have to permaban someone is just going to ban Nuke against you, right? You're not going to get to play it as so much. If in League of Legends, you're the god on Fiora in top lane, you're probably not going to get to play it that much because people aren't going to want to give you what your OP are. But what makes Valorant very unique, actually, this is a slight oversight, but it could make it interesting, is because they brought in the CSGO element, they have a map veto the same as we do in CSGO before the series. But because they use the veto for maps, that's all they can ban. The agents, which are like the champions or the heroes in League and Dota, which can be OP and broken, whereas that's what you ban in the draft in League and Dota, there is no draft to ban those, actually. So if an agent is just overpowered, it's just overpowered and you have to use it or deal with it. That's interesting, I actually think, because it means if you are just a god on one thing, you can still shine. Like, it's more like sports in that sense. You don't just ban one aspect out. You can't just take someone's strength away as much. So I think that's actually just a very interesting aspect that people will be shocked by, and they'll see it doesn't allow you to have the same sort of strategic pre-game plan for how to shut someone down. You have to actually do it against them playing on the things they're the strongest at, potentially. Obviously, the map pool isn't as great compared to CSGO. It's got some flaws in that regard, but I would say also, again, the players have had their time to start working with the maps and using it, and so the meta of how they play the maps out has made the maps a lot more watchable and a lot more interesting interactions on them. So look, let's be real, I'm not going to big it up, it's the best event ever, it's way better than CSGO, but the point is, if you're not watching any events right now, obviously we're just doing ESL Pro League, like we're starting out slow again in CSGO. This is an interesting thing you can shoot into. It's got some people you recognise playing, some people you recognise talking. It's got a very good format. It's got some interesting, unique, idiosyncratic elements, and it's got a totally worldwide field of teams who may indeed end up winning the tournament. This video was kindly supported by Kill Your Inner Loser, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Paul Villa, Travis Goff, Adam Oaks, Animosity, Bot Pounder 420, Hades, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Pacey, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my shows? Would you like to ask a question in my Patreon AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the next Reflections guests are or upcoming talk show guests. Do you want to take part in one of those long donator discussions with me? Well, if any of the above or more sound interesting to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.